His name was Eston Matthews. He was the pastor at North Riverside Baptist Church for almost 40 years. And when I became the pastor at North Riverside Baptist Church, he asked me to have coffee with him. We did, and he shared with me some of the stories of his ministry to the people of that church. The church grew more under his ministry than it had ever grown before or since. Baptized more, led more to Christ, buried more, all the work of a minister. He'd been in the hospital on a number of occasions to see families and families in the community. I got a call from the hospital while I was working on my doctorate. I was in Richmond, and I just happened to be up, and my phone rang. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was a nurse at Hospital, Riverside Hospital, Newport News. She said, "I need you to come to the hospital." I said, "Right now? You've been asked for." "They asked for me? Who is it?" "It's Eston Matthews. He's dying." "Is there anybody else there?" "No." "He's asking for you." "I tell him I'm on my way." After about 4 o'clock, he was still alive. I asked the nurse, "Has nobody been here?" "Nobody." "He pastored a church for 40 years, I said. "He ministered to all those families." "Nobody?" "Nobody." I went into his room and I reached out and got hold of his hand, and he just clenched on. And I said, "Eston, I'm here." He couldn't talk. He just groaned. But I knew what he was trying to tell me. I stayed there with him about 2 hours later. He just drifted off. I remember being really angry at the church that I pastored. Really, I thought. He gave you 40 years of His life. Nobody. And I also remember thinking, so that's how it will be. So this is how it all ends, is it? With sighs. With pain. With deep sorrow. And in Romans 8, Paul tells us that in the midst of that pain and sorrow, God hears. Even when we can't speak the words, God still hears and knows what we're trying to say. Robert Raines, in his preface to a book of poems and prayers, says, I'm told I sigh a lot, maybe you do too. Sighing is an expression of our human weakness, the limitations of our existence, all that hems us in our walls and prevents us from reaching people we long to reach or finding fulfillment. Sighing allows our inner longing to live and move. It's not the kind of sigh we emit when we're physically exhausted or worn out or we've worked all day. We usually know what that kind of sigh is, right? You know, you're just kind of tired. He's describing a sigh that comes like the one Esten gave. It's a breathy sigh that seems to come from a place deep within you. Paul calls it sighs too deep for words. That's the way Paul put it. More exactly, the Revised Standard Version renders the way Paul talks about it, but the King James renders it differently, groanings that cannot be uttered. Hurts so badly that there's no words you can communicate. And when you open your mouth, all that comes out is this pitiful moan somewhere in the deepest recesses of your soul. That's what I heard. And he just looked at me with those lost eyes, and he moaned a long, low, haunting moan. I can still hear it. Sighs too deep for words. You can't write that stuff without having had first-hand experience of what you're writing about. And I have to wonder about Paul. In another of his letters, he summarized the ordeals of a lifetime of work in this way. He says, on behalf of Christ, and he fashioned it that he claimed victory, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And he writes it in every way. And he acknowledged in his struggles and all the times that he came close to death, the rejections, the accusations, the conflicts, and he had been afflicted, perplexed, and persecuted and beaten down, but he insisted he'd never been crushed, he'd never been forsaken, he'd never been destroyed, he'd never been driven to despair. I think he came close. Because he knows too well what it's like to be on the edge. He knows sighs too deep for words, and so I think he came pretty close. He knows about groanings that can't be uttered. And perhaps he knows too that in that desperately lonely place, that sometimes you can even feel like you've been abandoned by God. You've been there? You know that your friends can't go with you to that place. You got to go on your own. Your family's not going to go with you. Oh, they'll say, we'll be with you. We'll always be with you. We'll stand by you. And they mean it. But you know, and they know that there's a place they can't go. They can walk to the edge, but there's a place they can't go. The spiritual says we got to walk that lonesome valley. We have to walk it by ourselves. Oh, nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. But you expect God to be there, right? I mean, if God is anywhere in your life, you know God is at least there in those dark places, that God is present with you. If God isn't there, what difference does it make that God is in any other place in your life? I mean, that's when we most often experience, though, the absence of God when we're most in need. Must have been what Job felt deep in his agony. His family gone, his property gone, his body was racked with pain. He cried, oh, that I knew where I might find God. God was nowhere to be found. Must have been what Jesus felt when Jesus was on the cross, abandoned, not just by close friends, understandably, but where's God? Oh, that I knew where I might find God here. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think that's what he said, right? And then, no more words, there was just a loud cry, moaning. Paul must have known that at our deepest need, at that deepest point, we can feel even abandoned by God. This he surely knew, to the point that our spirits wither. We drop to our knees, we pray, but there's no content to our prayer. There's just this groaning that comes out. No requests, no petitions. We don't know what to ask for. We just groan, sigh. And in that helplessness, Paul says that when we pray, we say, Abba, Father. Now, why did Paul use those two words, Abba and Pater. Two languages. One's Aramaic, the other's Greek. The language of ancient Palestine and Greek, the universal language. That roughly meaning the same thing. Why wasn't Greek, which is the language the letter was written in, sufficient? Perhaps because, well, Abba added something to it that Paul couldn't say with just one word. He had to use another word. Abba was a term that you would use when you were just a child. It was like daddy or mama. It was the same kind of word. And when you were in trouble or in need and you needed a mommy or a daddy, you would cry out Abba, which meant mommy or daddy. Either one. Isn't that interesting? Same word. Abba. First word a child would speak. Abba. Just like you would discuss today, what's the first word your child said? Was it mommy or daddy, right? You'd say, is it mommy or daddy? Well, in this case, it was just Abba, which meant mommy and daddy. Either one. Kind of cool then, at night, when you know your child wakes up and they yell out, Abba, you both have to get up, and because you don't know which one. Everybody's got to get up, right? Well, when you think God's abandoned you and you think you've been forsaken, Paul assures you that Abba is there. And God's at the heart of your deepest hoping, fearing, sighing. God's there. And God releases our yearning and allows it to come to the surface and pour out, stumbling with tears sometimes, but it comes out and God hears. You know, when trouble comes your way, likely you're going to rail on God. Couldn't you have done something about this? An explanation, as if something out of the ordinary has happened. The truth is, there's nothing more ordinary than hard times. We've all had our turn. Right? We'll have it again. And Paul helps us to understand where to find God in the hard times. If we ask, where's God in the midst of our troubles? Paul says, God is right there in the midst of your troubles. God's in the sigh that's too deep for words. God's in the groaning that you can't utter. God's in the place from which the sigh and the groan come from. God is there in the midst of all of it. And the psalmist called it the place where deep calls to deep. 42:7. The image is graphic. The word he uses refers to the depths of the oceans. The ocean has always seemed to be a place of mystery and its power, and there's something that draws us to it, yet threatening at the same time, right? We respect the ocean. You respect the waves. It's beautiful, but it can be fearful. How much more inviting, foreboding, fearful, mysterious it must have been to the desert people, the Hebrews. Can you imagine them seeing the ocean? They were pretty afraid when they saw it. And they wrote deep. That's the word he chose to describe this profound spiritual experience. Speaks to the ocean depth within us. There's a deep that answers to deep in God. God meets us there. In the deepest part of our pain, God is there. You see? Deep calls to deep. Where you think there is nothing, God is there. Paul says the Spirit acts as an interpreter. It interprets to God our sighs, our groans. Perhaps interpreting them to us, maybe as well. The Spirit communicates to our spirits, not with words, but with feelings, not with essays or explanations, but with comfort, with peace. Right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for... Yeah. God's not going to escort you around the valley. God's going to walk you through it. He's going to walk you through it. And so where do you go when you're in the valley and in the midst of the deepest pain that you know, you go to God and you let God walk you through it, because you come out on the other side. Eventually you do. It doesn't feel like it. You don't think it's going to happen, but eventually you do. You come out on the other side and God will take you through it. Jesus told his disciples on the evening before his death, I'm coming to you, and I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you in despair. I will not. And so Paul says, this is where you look for God. Even in the deepest anguish, even in those places where you feel like there's an absence of God's presence, you still look for God to see that God is there, present with you. I went into the president of my college. I was working on my doctorate, and I was telling him about my experience. I told him I was really upset by it all. And then I asked him, I said, why did Esten want me? I mean, what? He barely even knew me. He said, well, that's what ministers do. That's what he did. You see, when you walk into the room, God goes with you. You are the symbol of God to him. And that's what ministry does. It helps people to see that God is still there, because you come in the name of God. And it reminds them, God is still here. Doesn't mean you're God. Just a symbol of God. And when you show up, it means that God kind of shows up too. One of the things that God helped me to understand was that in that place, nothing really needs to be said. And you know what I did? I sighed too. Because I didn't have any words to say. And sometimes that's all you can do. When you go to those places where people are hurting, I have to tell you, sometimes the best thing you can do is just be present. You don't really have to say anything at all. Just be there. Paul uses another example of this. He says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Sometimes you just sigh with them. And that means more than anything. Abraham Heschel talks about this. Far be it from me to disagree with Abraham Heschel, but I would say sometimes the sigh is just the prayer. And in the presence of someone who loves you, the weight of your burden is released in a sigh. And you don't have to give any advice at that moment or try to explain the mysteries of the universe. Instead, just put your arms around a person and imagine God is present. Because God is. If we have the courage to go to that place where deep calls to deep, God's promise is this. He'll be there. And you will find healing rest for your heart and your soul. Let us pray. Gracious God, in those times when we don't have words, we pray, Lord, that your presence will be enough and that our presence will reflect your presence in deep ways. Help us, O Lord, to know that as we remember those who have gone before us on this day, sometimes the pain is deep, but you are there with us. And as we walk through the valley, you walk us through. Guide us in our deepest times of need to know that you are there. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.